Take your Bible to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 9, if you will, tonight. Luke chapter 9 in the Word of God. I'm going to bring you a very simple message, very plain message, not complicated. You're not going to have to scratch your head and think deep theological thoughts to get it. It'll just be something that I hope is practical, can help us a little bit. We've been trying to look at some mountaintop experiences. So far, every one, it's been on a specifically named mountain. Tonight, though, it's not the case, all right? So look, if we'll, Luke 9, verse 27. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death, though they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about eight days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. We read the description of what happened on what is often referred to as the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, that was not the name of the mount, all right? And in studying for the message, I was reading, and there's disagreement over what mount it occurred on. There's arguments that it was on Mount Tabor. There's arguments that it was on Mount Hermon. He said, which one do you think it was on? I don't know. And it doesn't make any difference. I read that kind of stuff, and I sometimes think, why'd they waste space writing that? There's no reason for it other than maybe, I guess, trying to attempt to impress somebody. Because the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter what mount it occurred on. This event took place, and it took place upon a mountain because the Bible says it did. And that, hey, that's good enough for me. I hope it's good enough for you. But what we want to do is just kind of take a look at it tonight and see if we can find something to help us just a little bit and maybe challenge us. We talk about transfiguration. That is to be a change in form. That's what transfiguration is. It was on this mount that the form of Christ was changed. Verse 29 says, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. All right? It was here that the Lord Jesus Christ was glorified before Peter and James and John. All right? And I just want us to take and learn a very few simple truths tonight about bringing glory to God. That is the challenge for us, that we should glorify God. And I think there's some things here that will help us. There's some things to do, and there's some things not to do, all right? And I said it's going to be real simple, all right? Number one, first of all, I want you to notice that what happened in verse 29, it was as he prayed. As he prayed. Now, he went up on that mountain to pray. That's what verse 28 tells us. That's why he took them up there. They went up to pray. And as he was praying, now we don't know how long he prayed, but it must have been a little bit of time anyway. But as that happened, then the form of his visage, his countenance was changed. Prayer brought about a transformation, all right? Now, Christ prayed, and it changed him. I want to say this to you. Prayer changes us too. Now, it's not going to make you white and glistering, okay? Not going to change your raiment or anything like that, but it will change you. If we'll spend more time in prayer and dealing with God, I believe it can even change your countenance. You said, preacher, you mean the way we look? Yep, the way you look. The way you look. It's amazing sometimes to sit on the platform and look at people in the audience. You get, probably some of you get perturbed with Brother Marion saying, smile. But man, you ought to look at the way some people look. They've come to church, and I thought, my soul, it must have been a rough day at the house, you know? Very tough day. If you spend a little more time in prayer, it can change the countenance on your face. We spend time with God and get along with Him. I believe it can put a joyful, peaceful countenance on your face. I believe it can make that. And that, I do believe, brings glory to God. You see, I believe what we do and the way we look ought to bring glory to God. There's a problem when God's people are down in the mouth all the time or have the mully grubs, whatever those are. You know, if you just always down and out, there's something wrong, okay? You say, well, preacher, I have a hard time, and you very well might, but listen, it's not all about the time you're having right now. We go through trials. We go through troubles. We do. But never lose sight of the fact that we're to glorify God. Take your Bible and go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, would you? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we lose track of this sometimes, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at the last verse in chapter 6, verse 20. The Bible said, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We've been bought with a price. So we are to glorify our God. Now, the Bible says in our body. Now, I find it hard to glorify God outside my body because I have a hard time getting out of it. I've sort of been stuck in it now for 70 plus years, all right? But we're to glorify God in our body, okay? Glorify God in our body and in our spirit. And the Bible said both of them belong to God. And we're to take and put the effort into glorifying God. All right? And sometimes that has to do with the way we look. Here we are, we profess to be Christians. We profess to be saved. We profess to be on our way to heaven. It's okay if we look like we're going, all right? And not like you're fearful that it might happen now. We ought to have that attitude that, hey, here we are, and we're to glorify God in what we do. Notice what the Bible says. Let me invite you over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, okay? Way over there, 1 Peter chapter 2, want you to look at a verse here. Once again, we're glorifying God. Now, I say you pray, it can change your countenance. It can give you a better look. And most of us could use a better look. All right? So it would help us. But look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Hey, the Bible said when we labor and we're doing good works, other folks see it, and it causes them to glorify God. To glorify God. You know, when there's tragedy down in Hill Country first part of this month. So many lost their lives in the flash flooding. Hey, there's groups of Christian people that go labor in those kind of situations. You say, why do they do it? I hope it's to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. But what is it you and I do? What do we do? We don't have to wait until there's a tragedy, okay? Until there's a tragedy. But what we do should glorify our God. The way you live, the way you conduct yourself, the way you talk to people. Notice what he says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. That word conversation does not just mean what you say. It has to do with your life too, your lifestyle even. It ought to be honest, okay? It ought to be honest. People ought to see that. And that ought to cause people to glorify our God. Hey, when we as a church operate in unity, it glorifies God. I want to say this, if there's backbiting and there's bickering and there's fussing, that doesn't glorify God. And people hear that kind of stuff and they think, yeah, it's fake. Those Christians, they don't really have anything. Hey, our life ought to be lived in such a way that we glorify God. You said, preacher, how'd you get from praying to here? Because if you don't pray, you don't get here either. We spend time in prayer. Hey, we spend time in prayer confessing our sin. We spend time in prayer asking God for help. We spend time in prayer asking God for direction, asking God to bless other folks. Can I just say this to you? It'll help you if you pray for other people. You don't get just focused on you. Don't just get focused on you. It helps if you pray and for other folks. All right? Hey, I want to tell you something. That'll put some concern in your voice. That'll put some concern when you see people you've been praying for. You'll ask them, hey, how's it going? I've been praying for you. It'll do something to your countenance. It will change you. And we, as I said, we never need to lose sight of the fact that one of the things we're to do here on this earth is to glorify God. We're to glorify God. The Bible says if we'll bear much fruit, that brings glory to God. We're to go after that. We're to seek to bring glory. Fruit, we're to seek to reach other people with the gospel. It ought to be a part of our life, okay? It ought to be a part of our life, not just something we do on special occasions. It ought to be a part of our life that we put ourselves into this. And why? Because I want to glorify God. You're not here just to make a lot of money and leave a big legacy when you die. You're not here for that purpose. You're not here to live so they'll put a monument up for you. You're here to live to glorify God. We're to do that. Hey, one of the things that'll help us do that is spending some time with God in prayer. That lays that foundation that helps us to do those things we need to do to bring glory to God. Now I want you to go back to Luke chapter 9. I told you there'd be some things to do and things not to do. We find here in this passage of Scripture that Peter and James and John did something that didn't bring glory to God. Said, well, what was it? Well, verse 30, all right? Excuse me, verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Now, the Lord's praying. The indication is while he was praying, they were sleeping. They were sleeping. Can I just make this statement? Sleeping doesn't glorify God. Not when you're supposed to be praying. Not when you're supposed to be doing something else. Hey, they nearly missed what happened on that mountain. You understand that? They were there with the Lord Jesus Christ when God opened up and glorified his son, and he was transfigured where they could see it. Not only that, they had two brought back from heaven, Moses and Elijah, that they could see, and obviously they recognized who they were, and they nearly slept through it. You ever slept through things? I have a message I preach, you know, about sleeping in church. Some people sleep in church. Yeah, with eyes wide open. They miss it, okay? Hey, can I say this to you? That doesn't bring any help to the Lord. It doesn't glorify Him. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "Wherefore He saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." We miss the light because we're asleep. We're asleep, all right? Now, I'm not up here preaching against you getting rest. That's obviously not true. We're supposed to rest. God made us. He made our bodies. They need rest, all right? I'm not preaching against that. No, not at all. He said, well, get specific, Romans chapter 13, all right? Romans chapter 13. I want you to know I'm not preaching against you going home tonight and laying down and sleeping. Good thing to do, all right? But wait a minute. On the spiritual plane, Romans 13 verse 11, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe." Hey, we're to wake up. Now we're to wake up. Hey, there's nothing wrong with sleeping, but there is something wrong with being lazy. There is something wrong with being lazy and sleeping spiritually when you need to be awake, when you need to be focused in on what's going on. Now, I remember at youth camp one year, Brother Vineyard was preaching and a guy was nodding off. And so Brother Vineyard stopped and he said, "Wake that guy up." They woke him up. He hadn't preached much longer, and Brother Vineyard stopped and said, "Hey, son, get up, get up." Same guy going back to sleep. He said, "Go back there and stand in the back. You stay awake while I'm preaching." You know what? He didn't fall asleep, but I believe if he had, he'd have woke up when he hit the floor, all right? Hey, sometimes in life we need to be awake spiritually. We need to realize there's some things going on. There's a work to do for God. And we're not to sleep through that time. You're to be alert, you know, and you're to have both eyes wide open. As I said, Peter and James and John nearly missed out on what was going on there that day because they were asleep. Because they were asleep. Hey, you miss an opportunity to do something for God because you're not paying attention. You're in a spiritual sense, if you will, you're asleep. God brings somebody across your path. He opens the door for a good gospel witness, but you miss it. Because your focus is not where it need be. Hey, sleeping doesn't glorify God, all right? Sleeping doesn't glorify God. Go back over there to Luke chapter 9 again, would you? I want you to see something else. Now, Peter almost slept through it, but then he made things worse. In verse 33, Peter said unto Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias," not knowing what he said. Can I say that? I'm gonna just try to say it as gently as I can. But ignorant speech doesn't glorify God. Ignorant speech doesn't glorify God. I want you to notice, very plainly, the Bible tells us Peter spoke, but he didn't know what he said. He didn't know what he was talking about. Now, Peter, I suppose, thought, "I have a grand idea. Let's do this." But he got into trouble because, as he often did, he spoke without thinking. Now, you say, "Well, preacher, what are you getting at for us?" I believe many of God's people do the same thing. We say things, they speak when they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about. Look, if you get in a conversation discussing eternal truth, you need to be careful about saying, "Well, I think." When it's eternal truth, it ought to be, "Well, the Bible says." It's important that you be able to tell somebody what the Bible says. Not to just give your opinion. I have heard God's people give some of the strangest opinions about stuff, spiritual things. There's no biblical basis, no biblical groundwork for it at all, but yet they're putting it out there to people who do not know eternal truth, and they give people the wrong idea. That's why there's people in this world that think you're literally go to heaven and you'll be playing a harp. There's been so many jokes told that people think you get to heaven and you'll be met at the gate by St. Peter. Man, there's no biblical foundation for that whatsoever. But there's people believe it with all that's within them. And they say things like, you know, their loved one dies. Well, they're now an angel in heaven. No, they aren't. No, they aren't. Look, when you die, you don't become an angel. That doesn't happen. Just, it's not going to happen. You pass off the scene, you don't become an angel. Your mother didn't become an angel. Now, she might have been the greatest person in the whole world, but she didn't become an angel when she died. You're not going to be an angel when you die. But man, there's people believe that with all that's within them. Now, and when they speak, they don't glorify God because it's out of ignorance of the Word of God. Now you say, well, I guess I just better keep my mouth shut, period. No, what you need to do is get in the book. You need to study the Bible. You need to pay attention when the Word of God is preached. You need to be in Sunday school. You need to learn all you can about this book. So when there's a need, you can give somebody something intelligent. You're not going to do like Peter and said, hey man, it's good for us to be here. Let's put up 3 tabernacles. Now what were they going to do? What were they going to do? You know, I want to say this to you. You don't bring glory to God camping out away from everybody else. You don't bring glory to God there. There's a certain church that has monks and nuns. You can figure it out. And some of those are what they call cloistered. And they never leave the nunnery. Some of the monks are in places where they never speak. Can I say this to you? That doesn't glorify God. That doesn't glorify God. No matter what your intention might be, that doesn't glorify God. Peter's saying, let's build 3 tabernacles. Good for us to be here. So they're going to just stay there? No, what they needed to do was get out and about, all right? And that's what we need to do. We need to get out and about and glorify God. We need to do that. Take your Bible, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. This business of glorifying God is an important thing. And I want you to notice how this whole situation affected Peter, would you? 2 Peter chapter 1. I know it's in my Bible, I just can't find it. 2 Peter chapter 1, look if you will, down in verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Hey, this is 30 years later when Peter's writing. But man, it had a, he's still thinking about that happening 30 years after it took place. The call of God from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hey, it brought honor and it brought glory to the Son. And that was the purpose. That's why God took him up there. That's why they were carried up there. They wanted to see the glory of God. But hey, I want to draw this to us. God put a call upon us. Now, it's different, obviously, than what he did with his son, but it's still an important call. And it is what we do with the call of God that determines whether or not we bring glory to him. God calls us, all right? God calls us in specific ways and to a specific special task. Years ago, he called me to preach. That was the call of God. Had I have not answered that call, or had I have said no, I would have missed an opportunity to bring glory to God. Because if you get anything out of my ministry, it is not because of me. It's all because of God, all right? It's what he's done and what he's able to do with us. Hey, when God calls you, you said, "Preacher, I've not been called to preach." I know you may not have, but maybe he's called you to teach a Sunday school class. Hey, that brings glory to God if you do that faithfully. I guarantee you he's called you to witness to people. To the best of your ability, that brings glory to God, all right? And God gets the glory from the life of the believer as that believer serves him. And that's what it should do. We ought to give that glory to God. We ought to bring it to him. We ought to point people to him. And folks ought to know, hey, it's not about me. Never lose sight of the fact that all you do in service to God brings glory and honor to him, unless you try to take the credit. Unless you decide to strut your stuff and say, "Did you see what I did?" Hey, man, I hope you never do that. Hope you never do that. I hope there'll always be a humble spirit and a humble attitude on our part where we realize, man, that God's dealing with nothing right here, and if he can make anything good, it's because of him. To glorify him. Every now and then, when we're going through some trials, we need to make sure God brings us out on the other side. We give him the glory. When we pray and he answers our prayer and gives us what we prayed for, we need to be sure we give him the glory. I mean, there needs to be some thankfulness. There ought to be some time where we just get alone and say, "Lord, thank you. You did it. You did it. It's what he's done." Give him that glory. Don't take it for yourself. Whatever he allows you and I to do is really just a witness to the power of God. And you look through the scriptures at the people he used. Remember where the Bible says not many wise? They're not called. God uses people otherwise. Most of those disciples referred to as unlearned and ignorant fishermen. But that's what God used to turn the world upside down. Hey, nobody could take the credit except God. I've often prayed and say, "Lord, would you do something so great that everybody know you did it? Because nobody else could have done it." And our life, I just want to spend just a few minutes tonight. I want you to consider what you do to glorify God with your life. What are you doing that glorifies him? Do you give him the glory? Do you let people know, it's not, it's him. He did it. He did it. Wasn't me. He did that. He did that. Thank God that he'll use us. What a blessing it is. Here we are. Broken, imperfect. God will still use us if we'll let him. And when he uses you, don't take credit. Give him the glory. Heavenly Father, thank you now for your goodness and blessing to us. Thank you for the word of God. Lord, I pray you to help us to see that we are to live to glorify you. And Lord, may we give you the glory for all that you do for us. And Lord, would you help us to do those good works that others would see them and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Go with us now. Help us.